Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, the healthcare system has been under pressure for a number of reasons, some of which are obvious, some of which are not. But virtual medicine, virtual care, right? Telecare, all of these words that we're learning about right now is maybe a bit of a different paradigm. Now, it's not necessarily new.
No.
So we've got the CEO, Dr. Rick Titus. He's the CEO of WeCareMD. And this is a company that's been around providing virtual care for 4 years, but it is becoming more prevalent. We're talking about it more. There's a more obvious reason why people might be searching this out. And so we thought it important to talk a little bit about what kind of services are available and how COVID is changing, you know, the landscape for virtual care. So, Dr. Titus, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, so virtual medicine, we did a survey at the Canadian Medical Association last year, and 6% of family doctors were providing virtual care. Well, because of the pandemic, this has exploded. We've gone from 6% to 80%.
Yeah.
80% now of family doctors are providing virtual care, whether it's phone messaging, whether it's Skype, or actually being on a virtual medicine platform. So this whole industry has exploded.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and I imagine, because I want to find a little bit about what kind of things are available through virtual care, but just based on that little bit that you said, I imagine there's a very wide spectrum of what might be included in this idea of virtual care.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now we're doing phone-to-phone, but that's the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. So we can also do a face-to-face over a Skype-like, but it's a virtual platform, but it goes beyond that. So, for example, in our company is we have digital platforms that are in retirement homes that they have a digital stethoscope, digital otoscope, where we can do a complete exam on that patient, and that patient doesn't have to leave the home.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So I wasn't aware of that. That's incredible. And
yeah,
this is not new then, is that what you're saying? This has been around for a while.
This has been around for a while, but you know, society, people weren't ready to accept it. Now people are clamoring. They said, "No, I don't want to walk into your office. I don't want to have the potential of being infected. I want to see you virtually." So there's a patient demand for that now.
So Rick, has it been a problem in the past? Partly because the demand side wasn't as high as we'd like it to be. And was there a problem with the government? And I know you're out of Hamilton, and so there's the Ontario provincial issue. I think Alberta has a different view of telemedicine, at least in the past. Do you think the COVID-19 has changed? And what is the government saying will be acceptable going forward?
Well, that's an interesting situation, because 2 weeks before two months before the COVID-19 pandemic, I sit on the Canadian National Virtual Medicine Task Force. We came out with our guidelines on February the 11th, and part of our guidelines are stating that we believe that docs should have a national licensure, so we should be able to see our patients wherever they are in Canada.
Yeah.
But also the other issue is that this should be a funded feature. Doesn't matter if you're in Alberta, if you're in BC, or if you're in Ontario. It should be funded by the government so that everyone has access to virtual medicine. And that was part of our National Virtual Medicine Task Force guidelines that we came out with.
So how far does the current technology allow us to go?
Yeah.
I'm curious. Like, I was shocked that you said you could do a complete exam at home. How far does it go right now, Rick?
Okay, so where is it right now? So if you go to Best Buy, U.S. Best Buy, you can buy this kit. It's called TytoCare, and it's a home diagnostic kit, and I think it's like $299 U.S., and you could be at home, you contact your doctor, doctor is able to see you visually, and also he directs you in terms of how to examine you. He directs you where to put the stethoscope, you know, over here or over there, or how to use the otoscope. So you can have a complete exam in the comfort of your home. That's where digital medicine is going. That's where it is right now, actually.
That's where it is, yeah. Yeah, so, okay, that's really interesting. Now, has the COVID pandemic only changed the awareness of it, or is there Is there some other, you know, functional aspect of telemedicine that's taken place as a result of this?
Well, for example, you know, I have a number of patients that have COVID-19 right now. So with telemedicine or virtual medicine, I'm monitoring them on a daily basis, and I'm involved with their healthcare, and they don't have to leave the comfort of their home. I don't have to expose myself. They don't have to be exposed to healthcare workers. So there's a real practical application.
Are we getting more acceptance, though? Like, I'm talking about government, because at the end of the day, even though asking for funding or even the processes, because what I've heard in the past, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Rick, that there's been governments who said, we're in other provinces than yours, that has said, we're not going to pay doctors to do telemedicine. We're not going to pay doctors to do a Skype visit or to do anything where the patient's not coming in. That was until they come in through the doors, you can't get paid, and that causes a bit of a problem. Has the government changed their mindset on that?
That's very very interesting, because it's like the genie has left the bottle, and I don't think the genie can put the genie back into the bottle. No. And now, especially with the endorsement of the national guidelines, you know, mind you, these national guidelines came out 2 months ago. So the national guidelines, and it states very clearly that every province should allow virtual medicine. And virtual medicine in the context of the circle of care. So virtual medicine, that's delivered by your family doctor. That's delivered by your specialist. Because your family doctor has all your records. He knows what your allergies are. He knows your past history. So virtual medicine in that context is an incredible, valuable tool.
And just very quickly, because we're running out of time, this is a trend to stay, I gather, from what you're saying. Do you see this accelerating, or is this just going to be a sort of a side shoot? Do we revert back to our normal behavior after this, or is this something that you see as a really powerful trend?
So virtual medicine has exploded, and it'll just keep on going. I've mentioned about these home kits, where it's going to end, unknown, but it's a great, you know, for example, instead of coming to see your doctor, you're sick, why not your doctor see you at home? Yeah. It's an amazing tool, and we have to adopt technology for the better of healthcare.
Yeah, I think so. Technology is going to play a very, very prominent role going forward. Rick, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate you spending some time and shedding some light on the capabilities that we have right now.
My pleasure.
Been joined by Dr. Rick Titus. This is the CEO of WeCareMD. He's a Board of Hamilton doctor utilizing virtual care through video conferencing. Really, I mean, technology is a key component.
What an interesting world we're in. Because if you go back in time, the doctor's house calls were normal.
Yeah.
And then they realized for economies of scale, bring the patient to the doctor.
Yeah.
And now we're going back to house calls.
House calls, and the virtual aspect of it makes sense, right? If we are becoming more sensitive to the fact, you remember back in the day, you were kind of seen as a bit of a wimp if you didn't show up to work and you were sick.
Yeah.
Right? And now we've gotten to this point where we realize, well, that's silly. Why get everybody else sick?
Yeah.
And now we have the ability through technology to ensure that you're not infecting other people.
Correct.
Right? So it's a great evolution.
It's a great evolution.
Yeah. We've got an upcoming webinar. Our second webinar that we're going to be doing.
Yeah. So speaking of evolution and the change, is that how do you change from what you've been investing into in the past, going through this crisis? You're gearing up for retirement, and you know this type of volatility is something you cannot handle in your retirement, nor is it the right thing for you in your retirement. So you're looking for different ways to do it. The evolution of retirement is what we're going to discuss on Tuesday, May 19th, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register, though. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com.
And stick around after the break, because we're going to do a little future gazing as to what life and work might look like after we get out of this pandemic. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.